Good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder here on a Sunday morning, and This Week in Health is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Let's say hello to Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. Hello again, Dr. Wheat. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Although I'm noticing people are, their allergies are kicking in, and I don't know if it has to do with we have cold weather, then it gets warm, then it gets cold again, because I've been a little stuffed up, and I was reading this article that said allergies are much worse for women. Now, explain, because usually men are the big babies. Sorry, guys, but you are.
Absolutely. I would say you and me both with these allergies right now. And some of it is the weather is changing. It is great that we are starting to see all of our flowers, all of our trees come. But with that comes all of the pollen and the different things in the air. And for women, it seems that sometimes the hormones that are part of us actually can cause allergic reactions for us as well. And so, yes, I guess it does seem true that women can have worse allergies than men, especially once they're older. It looks like in children, it's worse in boys, but as we grow up, it's worse in women.
That is really fascinating to me. And I never knew I had allergies, just to prove a point that you can develop them at any time. I never had them growing up. And then almost 30 years ago, I got married. It was October, and I really got this terrible congestion. And my doctor said, oh, we need to put you on a steroid so you can, enjoy your wedding and your honeymoon, but you may gain weight. And I'm like, really? Because I've been going to Weight Watchers for years. I am not going to do it. So I didn't. But now every year in October, I get these allergies. And I had never had it until I met my husband. I blame him. But, I mean, we can develop them at any time, right?
We absolutely can develop them at any time, and the weather has been different in our area. This spring, we had more of a cold snap over the winter, but in past years, it hasn't been quite as cold, and so it's been real that people's allergies have been worse than they had been, and then also add to some of the other things that happen in our environment, like the fires that have happened, and it really is picking up different allergens that people didn't have. And then also, if you recently moved to the area, it's new allergens for you. And so absolutely, you can have something different.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Like a new area has a different pollen count, mold count,
exactly.
All that. So what do you recommend? Because I really find that Sudafed does a great job for me. And just saline solution I spray in my nose at night or whenever I'm stuffed up. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, saline spray is my favorite. That's the first thing that I always recommend. It helps loosen everything up so that you feel better. It also rinses out the allergen. So that's always my first go-to. After that, there's the steroid sprays for your nose that helps symptoms that are not just in your nose. It also helps the itchy eyes. It also helps the sore throats. And so people always are surprised when I say that, but that's my second step. And then an antihistamine that you can take over the counter and then potentially Sudafed if you needed it. But I try to make that my last stop.
There is nothing worse than that little tickle in the back of your throat where you know a cough is coming. And unless you grab something to drink or a cough drop or something, it's you can't stop. And it's really hard when you're on the air, Dr. Wheat. It totally happens. And I know it's happened to you. That tickle.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
I hate it.
Yeah.
All right. So seasonal allergies are on the way. It's that time of year. And yes, it's way worse for women than it is for men. And we're going to talk about some other topics as well. We're going to take a quick break. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Santina Wheat, 312-981-7200. We'll continue in a second here on 720. Good Sunday morning to you. Wendy Snyder here. Dr. Santina Wheat on the line with us. And Dr. Wheat, we have a question from listener Nick. Hi, Nick. We were talking about allergies. You had a comment or question?
Yeah. I want to say thank you, by the way, for the nice show you have. I really enjoy it on Sunday morning.
Oh, thank you.
After the labor show on at 8 o'clock, which anybody works for a living or retired or thinking soon of entering the workforce, it's a good show to listen to that.
Excellent.
8 a.m. the labor show. Yeah. There's a term called a summer cold. That's like when people get congested around the summertime. But I know, in my case, I have a bad allergy to air conditioning. I'll go some places, you know, where the air conditioning is so cold that I right away I'm seeing. I even wear my dust mask or whatever you call that mask, you know, looped over my ears almost all the time, especially when I'm waiting for the bus. So you just move it up. And also sometimes being public transportation, you got people start coughing, don't cover the mouths. And even if they do, you know, they're still discharging a lot of stuff. Or
sneezing,
same thing. You know, you got all kinds of people on. Of course, I'm a normal rider on a bus. I'm the only one, of course. Everybody else has a problem.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I like asking a driver, are you the normal driver? And he looks at me like, what a wise guy. Anyhow.
All right. So an air conditioner allergy, there is something like that, right, Dr. Wheat?
There is. What usually it is, though, is that air conditioning is moving those allergens around and causing symptoms for you. And then for some of us, sometimes when the air is too cold, that also triggers some symptoms for us as well. But it can really be that it's the dust, it's the mold that's being circulated with the air conditioning, and then your pathway is just feeling cold as they're going through. So absolutely symptoms that people really do experience.
And 630 has texted, where are we now with all the winter flu, COVID, and RSV cases? Are we winding down?
I'm really happy to say that I feel like numbers have been decreasing. I still have seen some flu B recently, but nowhere near as much as we were seeing in the height of the season. And the RSV numbers are definitely much farther down. Sometimes COVID, though, comes back in the summer. So hopefully we won't see that, but we've definitely seen a decrease in the viral illnesses that are going through, which is much appreciated.
So it wouldn't, if someone hasn't gotten their COVID vaccine and still wants to, it might not be a bad idea to get that?
I still would recommend it, yes. It's still, again, it doesn't completely stop you from getting COVID, but absolutely can help you have not as bad of a reaction to it as if you might without the vaccine.
Now, in the past weeks, we've been talking about colorectal cancer and how it's happening to younger people. We were talking about melanoma last week and why it's a great idea to go to a dermatologist. Someone texted in after we were finished with our segment and said, I just got a full body scan that checks for cancer, and I wanted to ask your opinion on that. First and foremost, I'm not sure that your insurance covers it. You'd have to figure that out. But do the benefits outweigh the risks in these full body MRIs? And what is it exactly?
So a full body MRI really is meant to be an MRI literally of your entire body that is looking for signs of cancer that you might not be clear exactly where they are. There are a handful of people that they might be beneficial for who are at risk for certain types of cancers that are caused by genetic mutations. For the majority of people, though, they're really not that helpful. Sometimes things that we see on MRIs are not actually relevant, aren't actually going to cause us any harm, and might just send us digging for things for more testing that might cause more problems. But if you don't have specific symptoms, then they're not necessarily very helpful. So I wouldn't recommend them unless, like I said, you're one of those people that you have concerns about a cancer somewhere and they're looking for something specific.
Well, I want to just tell you that if you have a great doctor, here's a little story. I had a frozen shoulder, and I will talk about mm-hmm. that some week because I've read that women who have experienced the change in life, if they've gone through menopause, that's kind of common for us to get frozen shoulder. I went and got my shoulder x-rayed, and the doctor called me to tell me there was no problem with the joint, just some ligaments. I needed to do some physical therapy, but he did notice a little node in my lung and wanted me to get that checked out. And I just thought, that's a great doctor right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We will follow everything that we see just to make sure that it's nothing that is going to be harmful to you. So absolutely.
And being a former smoker, and I've mentioned this before, I did recently get my lung CT because if you smoked for many years and many packs a day, it's recommended. And I did have that little node, and they've been monitoring it, and nothing has changed or grown, and I've had it for the last 3 years. So former smokers, the importance of a lung scan, your thoughts on that, Dr. Wheat?
Absolutely. This is really specific for people that have smoked for a certain amount of years and a certain pack history, so please talk about it with your doctor, but absolutely recommend it. And then once you have quit for a certain amount of time, then you don't need it anymore also. But absolutely it's important to go looking for, because we don't always see the signs of lung cancer before they develop, and the earlier we find it, the more we can do.
And again, I'm not getting paid by these people, but I paid for it myself. It's called a harmless cigarette, and there's no nicotine, no tobacco, no heat, no smoke, no nothing. It's basically just a fake plastic cigarette with a little weight in it. And when you draw on it, it feels like you're taking a hit of a cigarette. And I had one in my car, one in my purse, one on my nightstand. I don't know, they're $15 each. And that and nicotine gum is how I quit smoking. And I'm going on 7 years this time around. So hopefully I'll never smoke again, although I dream about it. All right. Well, thank you for chatting with us. Honestly, I really love this segment every week, Dr. Wheat. You do a great job, and we appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to chatting next week.
All right, cool. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. And we have Dave Schwann's news coming your way next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.